Hey yo, and here we go, another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. Once again, I'm your Crown Prince of Charisma, the Futurist Mo, but you're not here for me. Are you here for my co-host, the man with the golden voice, the king of the casters, the chief defender of the faith, Mr. Brett Podcast? Brett, are they here for you?
I don't think they are.
No, I don't think so either. So what are they here for?
They are here for our latest guest. He is the bassist for Rough Cut, but, you know, more to the point, he is the singer for the Loyal Order, and that's the reason we are here to talk to him. He is Jeff Buhner. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Awesome.
Really interested to talk to you. You know, it's an interesting time to be trying to break a new band. I mean, you're in Rough Cut, who's obviously been around for a long time, though you're, you know, recently with them. But it's a weird, I don't think ever in history of music before, we've been in an era where the older bands are more popular than the newer bands.
Yes, there's definitely a new thing going on with this, all of this. I recently became the bassist for Rough Cut. Within the past year, they're kind of doing a reformation. And those guys are, you know, they're, you know, working hard and getting everything moving again. And they're great guys, very talented musicians. We just got a new agent down in Atlanta. And so we were in the process of starting to book a tour to kind of reintroduce the band, and all this happened. So it's been kind of crazy. So as far as the Loyal Order goes, it became a very opportune time to release our record, or get ready to release our record anyway, and which is now mastered and heading off to distribution. So digital at first, and then I'm going to save the hard copies for special promotions and shows. But that's going fabulous. We've got some really good reports from radio that it's starting to take off a little bit, and we're definitely in good company. We're dropping our single to Active Rock. It's the first week of May, and it's the same day that Trivium's dropping a song, then AWOL Nation and Five Finger Death Punch, all of this are dropping singles the same day to Active Rock, which is cool because it'll be a very active day and there'll be a lot of listeners, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's an interesting thing, you know, when you think about dropping music. Like, sometimes you want to be alone and by yourself, so it's just like, oh yeah, look, I mean, we're not going to get overshadowed, but at this kind of point, it is probably a good thing to be able to come out with a whole bunch of people, and hopefully everybody's sampling and trying everything.
Yeah, you know, I remember one of my lighting directors taught me a long time ago, early on in the game. He said, football players practice and musicians rehearse. And it's so, thereby it takes away the competitive thing. Obviously there's competition involved with, you know, songwriting and popularity of a song, but really music is not a sport, and we're all kind of part of the same culture, you know, popular, known or unknown. And we kind of all contribute to the whole, you know what I mean? That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm. You seem to be, you know, one of those guys who's been hanging around for a while and just looking for a break. And now it looks like, you know, hopefully you're about to get it. So you kind of maybe tell everybody about your history a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a bassist by trade for many years. And I first broke a song into the national arena with a band called the Dragonflies in 2003 is when we first kind of broke through. And we had a song on a New Line Cinema movie called Sugar and Spice. It had Mina Suvari and Marley Shelton. And we got on the soundtrack with Trauma Records, who signed No Doubt and Bush, who then became No Doubt, got taken over by Interscope. But anyway, so we did that, and they offered us a bad deal, and imagine that. Sorry.
Hard to believe. Never heard that one before.
Yeah, but actually, they were, you know, it was a cool thing. We went down And we did that, we had we independently released a record, and we piggybacked on some distribution with another company and promotions company. And anyway, that fizzled out. But we had, you know, we first did that, and we had some good, especially college radio airplay around the country. But that band just kind of disintegrated, you know, all at once with some distribution issues that we had, because the company we were working with switched to another distributor, and it wasn't in the contract that if they switched distributors that we would come along with them. So it kind of we kind of got bumped out of that deal. And so it just kind of took the band down to nothing. And then anyway, so that was a great band that we had a lot of success. And then I was in a band called the Russian Brides, and we also signed a deal with an independent company, and the rep that we were working with ended up leaving the company and going elsewhere. So we were in a company with no rep, and they were interested in pursuing other genres. But so, you know, and then playing around Portland, Oregon is where I'm at. Playing around Portland for many years, you know, things started to take hold. And when a guy called me up, and his name is Jeff Coxon, and he had a reality show, a hunting reality show, actually, that he wanted a theme song for. And he called me, and he's like, "Hey, I heard you're the guy that talks about songwriting, blah, blah, blah." And I said, "I sure am. And what do you need?" And we ended up writing a track for this reality show. It was called Off the Grid, Heavy Hitters Outdoors. Anyway, so I called my guitar player, Brandon, who is in the Loyal Order with me, Brandon Cook. And I said, "Hey, man, I need a heavy riff for a theme song for the show. And we'll write a song, and we'll find a singer, and blah, blah, blah." A couple days later, he calls me up, and he's got this riff. And I said, "Bring it over and shoot me a recording of it." And I ended up writing a vocal part to it. And so we went in to lay a scratch track for this song so I could, you know, hand the song over to whoever we were going to have sing on the song. And the producer came to me and was like, "Hey, dude, I think you should do it." And I'm like, "What? No, I'm just trying to, you know, convey my idea." And he said, "No, I want you to record this." So I tracked the vocal part. Everybody loved it. And our first song became part of this regional cable, you know, reality show. And it went for 2 seasons and kind of inspired me to get a few of my other songs out there. And we started recording songs. And next thing you know, we've got a record and or half of a record then. And then we just continued on. And we did our first show not long ago to introduce the band. And we did a sold out show with a band called Puddle of Mud, I'm sure you're familiar with. And so our first show was sold out, 750 people. Energy was amazing. And, you know, this midstream while tracking, you know, finishing up our album. And then I met Tom Hazard, who works with David Ellison from Megadeth, right? And he's the singer for Ellison. David Ellison's, you know, side project, I guess you want to call it, or other project is probably a better way to say it. And they have a company called EMP Label Group and also Combat Records. And I sent them the video for Ready for Dead when we first, right when we got them shooting it. I said, "Hey, I'm thinking about putting this out there. I wonder if you would like to work with me on it." And he said, "Hell yeah, let's do this." And so off we went. And quickly, the video got over 200,000 views on Facebook, and it just kind of took off. And I said, "Let's take this to another level." And so off we went, and here we are. And I'm talking to people like you and podcasters, radio stations, and all that stuff. And you know, it's amazing to have your guys's input and contribution to the whole thing. So it's going well.
I mean,
that's really cool.
Yeah, it's great. And Tom, I mean, Tom's an awesome guy. There's no question about it. And it's fantastic that he's willing to take the time to kind of help out in these kind of cases. Because I mean, you know, the band, and I mean, certainly Ready for Dead, like, it's a really cool song, and and I enjoy it a lot. So I look forward to hearing the rest of the album, and then even the other one that I heard, Tears from Kelly. That was is that on the
Oh
album
yeah,
too?
no, it's not. That is just kind of a side. It's kind of a side song that I'm going to save for a special time to release. Well, it is released, but I didn't put it on the record for a couple reasons. But because, so the story with Tears from Kelly is a girl I went to high school with. She in Oregon, she found herself. After several moves, she found herself in Australia, started a family, and it's been probably 5 years ago now that she discovered she had colon cancer. And she thought she beat it, and the ups and downs that go along with that. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and it turned out to be a very aggressive form. And she tried everything, and then she kind of rounded this corner, and she was very public about it. And on Facebook one night I saw this post that she had made, and I said, "Hey, if there's any," I private messaged her. I'm like, "If there's anything I can do for you, you just tell me, and I will do it." And her next sentence was, "I want you to make me famous and write a song for me, so nobody forgets me." And I said, "Well, that's. Let me think about that. I really, it was a really heavy question to ask, because how do you say that? You know what I mean? How do you put it into words and the right format and all that stuff simultaneously while not trying to appear to capitalize on somebody's illness?" That was a real big one for me because how people are, there's they. And I've seen it before with other friends, like people capitalizing on benefit shows and stuff, over and over and over, and I just hate that. So when I first I so I thought about it, and I asked her a few questions, and I didn't really know how to put it into words, And so I was thinking around on my acoustic guitar one night, and I ended up with the first verse, and I sent it to her, and I said, "Does this sound like you?" And she started crying. She says, "Oh my God, yes, exactly. That is me." I ended up writing the song like in first person, as if it were her talking to her husband. And I didn't know how to say she was dying, So that's it. I used the analogy of the candle. Don't but this moment is now. Don't let the candle burn down. And the chorus is, "And I will dream about you when the wind blows the veil off of my face. And I for one will understand how beautiful it's been." So basically, as she was dying, she would dream about her husband and her kids and all that stuff, but without saying dying, Anyway, it ended up sounding, perfect as far as the analogy goes, and she thought I was just going to send her a little acoustic video of a song that I wrote by the campfire. And I ended up taking it to another level. And I said, "Hey guys, I want to document this to all the musicians that worked with me." I said, "I want to document this in the studio. I want to kind of shoot a video of us doing this." And that's what we did. And even, I don't know if you know who Dan Reed is from the Dan Reed Network.
Yep.
Okay. So Dan happened to fly into town from Europe, and my producer Rob Dacre, and I'm friends with Dan too, but he was working with Rob, and he's like, "Hey, Buehner's got this song and he wants to just sing some backups." He explained the whole story, and Dan called me up and he's like, "Yeah man, I'm honored. I would love to." So he had a little cameo in it too, and she was a fan of the Dan Reed Network. And anyway, so I dropped this. I waited for her to go to sleep one night because I kind of was watching the trial over in Australia, and I dropped the video on her timeline, and I went about my day and went to sleep. And by the time I woke up, it had over 5,000 views, and I was just like, "Wow, this really took off." And so that's kind of where that went. And I just felt kind of I wanted to put it on the record, but I think I'm going to release it as a bonus track. Maybe I'll add to the record later, but it's a timing thing. You know what I'm saying? and with that, because, you know, so I've been talking to our distributors and stuff, and I want to take that song and attach it to a charity thing, you know, and to where any money that comes in from it will go directly to a charity, you know? So that's kind of how I felt about that. Cause you know, I don't feel right. Even though she told me, you know, do it, put a capital, you know, capitalize on it. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. You know? Anyway, when she saw the video, she went crazy and cried and cried. And it was really ended up being a beautiful gift to her, you know? So it was probably one of my finer moments for sure. So that's kind of the story about Kelly. And she ended up passing away like 6 months later. So yeah, it was a sad story, but it was also kind of a beautiful thing. Commemorating her. And
no, so, I appreciate you've done that. Cancer's touched everybody's lives. I think just about everybody knows somebody who they've lost, who mattered a lot to them from cancer. So that's that story is really, yep. You got me a bit emotional here.
Oh man, I mean, you want to hear something crazy about it? Is like, put that out, and all this, it started circulating, and I ended up going to this local show where there was a bunch of my friends. A lot of my friends are in tribute bands, and I ended up going to this tribute band show, and I walked in the door, it was the first time I'd been out since I released it. And I walked to the door, and I literally got, you know, surrounded by people, you know, thanking me for it and telling me how cool it was that they thought it was. And I was super humbled by it. I was blown away. But so many people started reaching out to me and saying, hey, I don't know that you know this, but I'm a survivor. And, you know, they were talking about how it made them feel and tears in their eyes. And the next thing I know, a girl from the town I grew up in, actually near the town I grew up in, called me. And she's like, can I play this song at my dad's funeral? He just died from cancer, you know, last week. And all that stuff started happening, man. And it was so heavy, super heavy, but, I was honored, you know, that it went to that place, you know, that it, you know, like, you know, for me, music is a means of connecting, you know, not just conveying, hey, look, we wrote this good song. It's, for me, it's all about connecting to someone's heart somehow, you know, and whether that be, you know, happy, sad, angry, whatever, you know, it's like, you know, allowing them into the song and having it be their theme song, you know, that's my greatest honor. So if somebody comes to me and says, yeah, you wrote that song about me, I know it, you know, that's how I like to communicate music. And for me, it's a way of seeing people, you know, like you do a show, people come up and, you know, they'd say, hey, good job or bad job or whatever they're saying, but they come up and they talk and it gives me an opportunity to see them. If that makes any sense. And then that way I can, it's, you know, cause people that I wouldn't normally go talk to, you know, they come to me and then I have an opportunity to connect with them and see who they are. You know, that's always my goal. So, and if I can do that in a song, that is payment for me in the greatest form. So.
That's super cool. Cause you know, I mean, music is all about touching people, making them feel something, you know, something, anything, right? Depending on what the song is.
Yes. I was talking to a guy yesterday from South Carolina on a podcast, and I told him, I said, you know, I remembered, I pulled out this old, you know, I think I was, how old was I? I was probably like fresh out of high school or when I did it, but I was playing this Rush record, and I remember, it was like an old cassette that I'd had, and it had Spirit of the Radio on it. And I listened to the lyrics again, you know, and it hit me in a different way. And I thought how cool it is to have a song be conveyed. You know, it comes from wherever it comes from, you know, like writing a song is actually a process of receiving, getting out of your own way and allowing yourself to receive this form of art. And you receive it. And then it comes from out of the universe, goes through your brain, into your head, a melody pops into your head, and then you put it to a chord and you put it to a lyric, and and then you record it, and then it goes down on whatever form of recording you're doing it. Now it's digital, obviously, and sometimes analog, but and then it goes into that format, and then from there it goes out to you release it, and then every people hear it. It goes through the airwaves, and it goes through the radios, and it goes to the computers, and it, you know, it's a complete circle conveyed, you know, and whoever's listening to the song is affected and impacted by that song, and the cycle is complete, you know, and especially if you write the right song, you know, and it connects. That's super important, you know. And I was talking about that very thing yesterday.
So you were cheating on us yesterday, is what you're saying?
What's that?
You were cheating on us yesterday, that's what you're saying?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No,
I
it's
just
all
wanted to get
right.
warmed up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's okay. You could be on lesser podcasts. That's fine. That's fine. You don't mind. No,
Well, the
that's really
response
no, but
has been good.
it's really no, that's it's really cool. You know, I also believe in that theory that and not just music, just all art is perhaps all ideas are just they're out there already, and it's just certain people have an ability to channel them and bring them in and put them into a format that the world can see.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, if you can write something and it becomes their story, you know, and that people can fit their life inside of, you know, if it's ambiguous or whatever, they can fit, if it's just enough, you know, you kind of paint this picture for them to walk into, you know, and that's what's really cool, because we've all felt pain, we've all felt sadness, we've all felt, you know, anger, we've all felt joy, and you know, you're basically kind of laying out this set for them to walk into, you know, and it's kind of cool when you can enable somebody to have that form of release, you know, it's very rewarding.
Yeah, I
So,
mean, well, I mean, music. I mean, of course, the soundtrack of our lives and stuff like that. So, you know, we all love music. Hey, that's why we're here. But, and I also do want to talk about Ready for Dead because, as I said, we enjoyed the song. You know, watch the video. It's fun. I think, like, and especially when it comes to doing the video, like, how are you kind of growing into being a lead singer?
well, you know, it's actually been a very transcending experience for me, because once again, I identify as a bassist, and it's strange for me to be having these conversations, because it's had good success, you know. And I will say, like, you know, when we did our debut show, and we've been choosing the right shows to walk into, you know, I mean, this COVID thing happened, and it kind of got in the way of a few things, but we've been choosing the right shows to walk into, just because I set my sight as high as I possibly could. I talked to Brandon, my guitarist, about it, and co-writer, and I was like, dude, look, you know, if we're gonna do this, we're gonna do it for not just the local culture, we're gonna do it for everybody. And if it sticks, it'll stick. You know, if it's good enough, it'll stick. And he agreed. So we just set our mark as high as we could. We just kind of walked into it. And as far as being the front guy, I was like, I don't want to play bass. I want to pick a bass player, because I don't want to get in the way of, you know, the pocket. If you sacrifice pocket as a bass player, that's like a mortal sin. So I was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be 75% of what I can be on each instrument, whether it be the voice or the bass, you know. So I said, let's not do that. I want to just front. And so walking into our first debut show with Puddle of Mud, we had tons of people there. I would venture to say at least half of the room was ours. And it was crazy energy. And I was getting ready to walk on stage. We'd rehearsed. I'd gone out of our way to, like, make sure the band was 100% prepared. We even rehearsed in the room a couple of days before the show, and I made arrangements to do that via some of my good friends here in town, and pulled the band together, and so we could be prepped, you know, to walk into this thing. And all of a sudden, it's game time, right? And I'm backstage, and I'm like, wow, this is happening. And all of a sudden, the energy just started churning. And honestly, I walked on stage, and the crowd was so crazy, and the energy exchange was so massive that don't remember a whole lot of it. It was this really natural, amazing experience. And you know, it hit me that I had to MC the crowd and do all the lead singer things that I didn't normally have to think about, you know. And I walked out there and I did it, man, and it was easy. So, you know, was I perfect? No, but that's good, right? I mean, yeah, and it was all just pure, driven, hardcore energy, man, and it was a very, very cool experience. So, yeah, so I guess to answer your question, I hope I transitioned well, you know, so far it's been nothing but, you know, compliments and, you know, attaboys, kind of, you know, slaps on the back, and, you know, it was cool. It worked out good.
Oh, that's cool.
So is the song Ready for Dead really very indicative of what we're going to get from the album? Is that a really good representation of the type of music, type of songs we're going to hear?
Yes, yes. You know, Ready for Dead was my producer actually pulled that song out of his past, and he had started writing a song for his next record when he was signed to a label, and we kind of reworked the tune and turned it into what it is, and it's got so much, you know, sensibility, hard rock sensibility, and it's so radio ready, you know, that it worked out really good. And the rest of the record is, we're going to release another single called Hellfire, and we just shot a video for it the other day. And it's similar in nature, kind of I hate to put a label on it, but it's in the same realm. You know, big chorus and cool, you know, catchy verse. And then we have a full spectrum of songs on this record. We've got another song called Fall to Rise, which is a very heavy song. It's a really hard rock, almost like the verses are kind of Lamb of God-ish, you know, the screaming and the chorus is a big, huge kind of Alice in Chains-y sounding chorus with all the harmonies and all that cool stuff that those guys do. And let me see here. There's two ballads on the record. One is called Colorblind and another one is called The River. And yeah, man. And we actually put the song that we had on the theme song for that hunting reality show. We put that on the record. It's called Superhuman. And yeah, man, it's all there. It's a full spectrum of that. So I guess to answer your question, do all the songs sound the same? No, they don't. I like a Zeppelin record is a good example. Like, you'll get your, you know, heavier songs, and then all of a sudden they head off in another direction. Not that we go too far in the folk spectrum, but it's kind of all over the place. But I think there's three or four pretty solid singles and some other songs that are you know, that just kind of fill in around it, that are all good in my opinion, but we'll see how everybody digests them. There's a song also called Half-Life that I shared with somebody who's working on the record with us. And I, after we got the master the other day, she's working. It's the person that's doing the artwork. And I wanted her to hear everything on the record, not just Ready for Dead. And she got back to me and she's like, I really love that song, Half-Life. And that song is kind of more of an Incubus-y sounding vibe. So there's a lot of different colors on the record, which I think is a good thing. Don't you guys agree? Like,
for sure.
Yeah, you want to have a theme, but you want to have some variety. You don't want, you know, I mean, you don't want every song sounding the same. Obviously, no. You want to have some variety, it should feel like it fits, but still feel like it's got variety. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, continuity and variety. Yes, I mean, that's how I feel about it too. I mean, what are your guys' favorite records out there? Like, I mean, if you could pick a record of all time, not to be interviewing you, but like, what would it be for you guys?
Oh man, that's just one.
Well,
it's so hard. But you know what? You know what? An all-time favorite record of mine is now the name of it is for, give me 2 seconds. I
I
cannot
can
believe it
it,
just
it's
dropped out of my head.
I have one that's actually kind of interesting, and I think it would surprise most people. It's Steven Seagal's first album, Songs from the Crystal Cave.
The what?
Okay, that was not where I was gonna go. I was gonna go with Dysfunctional by Dawkins
Oh
from
yes, right.
from 1995. Like that's an album. It's got an acoustic ballad. It's got another more traditional ballad. It's got some alternative sounds. It's got some really like great guitar, obviously, and singing. And it's got a
Great
real
harmonies.
Harmonies and just Pilsen and Dawkin and just like all these
Oh, yeah.
Lynch, right? Like just these great guys and they came back together and they did that album. Yeah, it's got some traditional Dawkin alternative. It's got everything, but it's got that theme, but it's also got variety. Like I don't know if you ever listened to that album, but it's one of my all-time
Yeah.
favorites.
Oh, yeah, man. Those guys are, they had their big moments, man. As a matter of fact, I was with Tom Hazard in Los Angeles during the NAMM show, actually. And Don Dawkins, we went to this Metal Hall of Fame ceremony, inductee ceremony, and Don Dawkins got inducted that night, and he
Oh,
came out and
nice.
did a song.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And Steve Vai, not yeah, yeah, Steve Vai and Chris from Megadeth, and all these just heroes of mine, came out and played. And I was just like, wow, how did I get in this crowd?
No, but it's true. Like,
Yeah, but
like "Flying in a Blue Dream" by Joe Satriani is
Satriani.
another one. Yes,
Yeah,
yeah.
Joe
That's.
Satriani was there too, by the
Oh, really?
way.
Well,
of course he was, right?
of course, yeah. Well, sure, if Steve Vai's going in, right? He didn't he didn't he start teaching him?
Yeah, he was Steve Gavai's guitar teacher. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, no, I mean that's another one. Like, it's got lots of variety, but it's got him singing like half the songs he sings, half he doesn't, and then it's got like all sorts of different themes, and it's just really cool. Like, it's just,
It's a journey,
it's tough
right?
you ask me that because I'm like I'm a huge Ramones fan, and I'm like, well, I guess they all, but there is to a lot of people they'd be like, well, the Ramones, that's 3 minutes, two and a half minutes, and they're done every time. But if once you get familiar with them, then you realize that it has that continuity, but it all there's more variety than people realize, like just the perception of the Ramones. So
Yeah, I mean, that's good. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, he's such a he's so amazing. I mean, I'm not a big Guitar Hero guy. I mean, I kind of usually when somebody just comes out and riffs forever, I get bored. I kind of glaze over. But with Steve, with Satriani, I mean, he has the ability. I mean, even if he's not singing in a song or whatever, or the song doesn't have vocals, I mean, he can tell a story with just his guitar, and that's so amazing. That's rare, very rare. I mean, usually the Guitar Heroes come out and they just riff all over the place, and it's super impressive, and you're going, "Wow, that's killer!" But usually, they don't accomplish that total connect. You know what I mean? And Satriani does that really well.
Yeah, I think
So.
that's the thing is that his songs, it sounds like a chorus still when he hits a chorus. It sounds like a verse still when he's doing a verse. It manages to do that, which is so it's not just about the great playing. It's about the, like you say, the story with the guitar and the music, and that's why I he's one of the best, definitely. Back to you though.
Well, this is a great place actually to ask, like, so what does Brandon then bring to the product? I mean, because we talked about Satriani and Vai and stuff like that. So like, tell us a little bit about Brandon and what he brings to the mix.
Well, Brandon is the guy. I've been around Brandon for quite a few years here in Portland, playing, different shows and stuff like that. I knew he was great, but one night we did this we had this thing that we did, and we played a bunch of like, it was kind of a British invasion night. We just played a bunch of like British invasion covers and like, you know, Def Leppard and Priest, and then we ended up playing like some Ronnie James Dio stuff. And anyway, Brandon hopped up and he played Stand Up and Shout with us, the Dio song, you know. And he nailed that solo, man. I mean, he shredded that thing to pieces, man. I mean, he tells the story now. He's like, I knew I was gonna play with you guys, and I wanted to make my mark, and he did, man. He nailed that solo, like Vivian Campbell stuff, and he nailed it. And I was like, wow, you know. And so from that point forward, we, you know, became really good friends, and we started, you know, talking, and then when I was asked to do that theme song, he was the first guy I went to because I knew he's the guy with the heavy riffs, right? And then we discovered that we had this really cool, together as songwriters, we had this really cool, you know, energy, and the chemistry was there. And I can say, you know, I write a lot of songs on acoustic guitar, and I'm not a good, I can't hardly even, I can play chords, right? But I'm not an accomplished guitar player in any way, shape, or form. So I'll play the chords for him, and I say, I will need some voicings for this. What if you did a riff like this, kind of, you know, and I'll plunk out something. And he'll go like this, and I'll go, no, not like that. And then I'll think of a guitar player, and I'll go, think Jerry Cantrell. And then I go, oh, like this. I'm like, exactly. And that's what we do together. And we sit down, and we'll write songs in living rooms, whatever we got to do. I will tell you, man, that this record has got so much great guitar work. A lot of guitar solos, you know, in the right places. Not too many, you know, but all in the right places, and they're all quite epic. I mean, he's phenomenal, and he's an encyclopedia of music. I mean, he's you know, highly educated on the subject, and he just, you know, he knows what to play and when to play it, and like if I hear something else, like he will. If I hear something in my head, I can convey it to him, say kind of like this or kind of like that. And he just does it, man. And he's a great writer too. I mean, he can write great guitar parts. He can hear melodies. He can write choruses. And, you know, a lot of times I'll come to him and I'll have three quarters of the song, and he'll go, well, how about this for a chorus? Or how about this for a middle eight? And he's got it right there, you know? And it's an amazing process. So he brings a lot to the table, you know, and he's great to work with and all that. Our other guitarist, Justin Gibson, on that song that I told you called Hellfire, he and Brandon said, you know, sketched out a solo, and Justin did the guitar solo in the middle of the song, and then Brandon did, there's two guitar solos, one in the solo section and then another one in the outro where they do this harmony guitar part together. But the solo in the middle of the song, Justin and Brandon composed, with Justin mainly, and then Brandon kind of, you know, they kind of guided each other through it. And it's got elements of a lot of really cool, some of my favorite, you know, elements of guitars, period, in this one solo. I mean, you can even hear a little bit of like Ritchie Blackmore in it. It's really cool. So yeah, I'm surrounded by amazing musicians, and it's some of my favorites, you know what I mean? Our drummer Kyle Baltus he plays with 36 Crazy Fists, and also Light the Torch, Howard Jones's project from Killswitch Engage. The singer from Killswitch has his own thing going on called Light the Torch, and Kyle plays drums tours with him too on occasion. So yeah, I've got quite the group surrounding me. So it's really, I'm just I pinch myself all the time going, wow, you know, these guys are amazing. And it helps me, you know, elevate as a lead singer, and raises the bar, you know what I mean? And you kind of play to your pedigree sometimes. So yeah, they're amazing folks. So Anyway,
You know,
that's.
yeah, no, that's awesome. Like, I think, unfortunately, I think our time with you is about to wrap up here. Maybe when the album comes out, we can get you back on, talk a little bit more about it once we've heard it all, and you know, go more into some I don't know, just talk music because that's what we love.
Yeah, man, for sure. Yeah, I'm stoked. I got the master in the other day, and
How'd you
I
guys shoot
was
a music video? You said you just shot
yeah.
one. How'd you do that in this environment?
Well, I'll tell you. I went to the guy producing it, and who happens to be our producer, music producer as well. And I said, "Hey, man, we need to find a room. I want to shoot a video. I want to, you know, since we're all hanging out and not doing a whole lot these days." You know, let's shoot a video. And I said, so let's get a room, we'll keep it sterile, and we'll have one guy at a time come in and shoot their part. So that's what we did. We put the masks on, had one person from the band at a time come in. We did three takes, you know, with different angles and stuff. And did three takes of each guy, and we shot it in a day. You know, and it looks great, feels great, the energy's there. And yeah, we couldn't shoot it obviously as a whole band, but it worked out cool. And it's the background's all black, so it's yeah, it's really cool. Yeah.
I mean, it's great because people are finding new ways or just different ways of doing things and getting things done. And you know, you have to appreciate that kind of you know, thinking, the forward thinking for a time like this.
Yep. Yeah, man. I mean, it's a good time to, you know, to put together a bunch of content for when everything starts to take off again. You know, it's like you're kind of forced to stay in and you know, use your brain and think about what you could do. And we did that thing for the Grammy Youth Education Foundation and David Ellison's Youth Foundation. We did the same thing for that. We did an acoustic live thing, and we kind of pieced that together the same way too. You know, it was like one take, everybody gets one take, and start with a click track and play the song, you know. And we just, that's how we did it. And it was this live thing that came out. I don't know if you saw that
I
video
did,
or not,
yeah. And
but
it's, I mean, it sounds great. Like acoustic live, it sounds really good.
yeah, it turned out good, man. I was very happy with that. It was, of course, you go into something like that going, is this gonna work? You know, let's try it, you know. And having Tom pushing me to do stuff, you know, he was like, I want you guys to do this, man. And I said, okay. I said, I'll make it happen. And then also I did that thing the other day on bass. I don't know if you saw that, but the play
Oh
along with one bass
yeah, the
song.
playthrough, right? Yep.
Yeah, that was a blast.
Nice.
That was a blast. And you know, the their song is cool as hell, right? And I was like, yeah, I have to do this. And I just went at it and pretty much nailed it. But it was fun doing that too. So just that kind of a thing is, you know, you gotta keep going, right? You gotta find a way to keep going, and off it went, man. It was fun to do that. It was cool because the other two bassists on that turned in the videos, you know, one was from Suicidal Tendencies, and the other guy's from the Butcher Babies. So
Nice.
I was in good company there as well. So
Well, that's yeah,
yeah,
that's
man.
awesome, man. Will you come back and join us again in the future?
I would absolutely love to, man. Anytime you
That's
guys want
awesome.
to chat, I'm down. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we could take the record, and I can make sure that you guys get a copy of it and stuff.
Yeah, that
And
would be fantastic. We'd love to hear it.
yeah, and then you can, you know, listen and let me know what you think, and I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on it. I'm really, you know, it's a 9-song record, kind of like 5150 and some of the Scorpions record. One of the, I think Blackout was 9 songs too.
Yep,
I just
that's
wanted
right.
to keep it. I just wanted to keep it in one. I didn't want to overwhelm and just. I wanted to just come out as a complete thought without too much. And so we just said, let's just call it 9 songs, and here we go. You know,
Awesome.
so.
I think
felt
that's great.
complete, you know.
So
It felt
this is it.
complete.
This is your chance to plug everything you got here. Tell everybody where to keep up with the band, yourself, and everything you guys got going on.
Okay, cool. I mean, the best platform is Facebook, The Loyal Order on Facebook. And also we have theloyalorder.com and Instagram, The Loyal Order. And, you know, have everybody reach out and you know, follow us and friend request us, whatever you need to do, or and friend request me personally if you'd like as well. And we'll keep this thing going. We'll get to keep the momentum going. And when all this, when the world opens up again, we'll get out there and try to come to everybody's town.
Hey,
That's
that'd be awesome.
the goal, yeah. But
I
I
bet
mean,
you it'd be a hell of a show, no matter who you're playing with.
yeah,
Awesome.
man, can't wait.
We can't wait. Also, thanks so much, Jeff. It's been like a pleasure. Really interesting listening to
You.
you, and really enjoyed this.
Oh, me too, man. You guys are. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you having me, and thank you guys for what you do too, man. It's so important and. I know you guys are successful and doing well with this, and it's just, you know, to have connoisseurs out there, listening to, you know, everybody's work and art and pushing it forward and doing all that is it's part of the whole picture, you know, and it's very important, man. You guys are amazing.
Thank you. Don't compare those other podcasts you're on to us, then. They're not as good.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. We'll talk again in the future.
Yeah, for sure. All the best.
Okay, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, same to you guys, man. Take care now.
All right.
Bye.
Bye now.
All right, bye.